When I was 7 years old, I was playing in the courtyard of my village in Persia, near sunset in the middle of the summertime. And I was looking at the stars as they began to appear in the evening sky, and I was drawing with a stick in the dust, and I drew the mountains. I drew the sun where it was setting against the sky and the first stars that appeared. And I watched them and I recorded them as they appeared as the sky grew dark. I spent many, many days watching the sky and recording the stars. But on this particular evening, right in the middle of the summer, caravan of very impressive-looking wealthy people came into the village looking to water their camels and refresh their bags. And as I watched them out of the corner of my eye, I continued to map the stars. And one of them came over to me and looked down at me and said, "Son, what is your name?" I said, "Sir, my name is Melchior." He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm keeping track of the stars. If I keep track of the stars, I'll know next year when the crops need to be planted. And if I keep track of the sun and the moon, I'll know when the river will flood." He says, "You're right." He left for a little while. Came back right after dark. The fire was blazing in the middle of the square. And my parents were with him. And he said to my parents, "I would like to take your son on as an apprentice. He already understands something of the night sky. And he knows how to find the stars and the planets and to measure what needs to be measured. I would like to teach him what it means." And so at 7 years old, I was apprenticed to one of the magi of Persia. And I moved to the capital to live in his house. And he taught me better how to keep track of the stars and the movements of those wandering stars, the planets. And he had better tools to measure than I could have ever made in my village. And then, sometime maybe 10 years later, I was a young man. I had gained enough of a reputation, I suppose, of knowing what I was doing, that I was invited to accompany my master to the palace and give a report and show other of the magi what I had discovered. And slowly as I grew, I was brought into that council more and more often. And so by the time I was about 50 years old, I was called to every council. Turns out I was one of the magi. But I still, every night, would walk out into the town square and chart the stars in the dust. And one night, something looked different. So I charted it, I double-checked it, I triple-checked it. I went home and I lit a candle and I started opening my scrolls to find out what this difference in the sky might mean. And I had a few ideas. And I stayed up very late. I actually fell asleep on my desk. And the next morning, as the sun rose, excitedly I went through the city and I found a friend who had worked with me before. His name is Casper. And he was awake as early as I was because he had seen the same thing. And he had stayed up studying. And we together went down into another quarter of the city and we found another friend. His name was Balthazar. And the three of us excitedly looked over our books and we realized that a star had come up. A star had appeared. And it meant that somewhere in the world there was a new king. We had more studying to do. So we spent the day and the next day and the next day poring over the charts to understand from nature, looking at the sky, looking at the science, looking at the history and the recorded story of our people and all the peoples of the world that we could get our hands on. And we discovered that it was the people of Israel, the people of King David, the people of wise Solomon, the people who, if you believe those stories, were slaves in Egypt, and their God led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. This is the group of people who have a new king. And we kept reading. And we kept reading, and he's going to be their king. There's no doubt about that. The stars are very clear. We kept reading, and we find out not only is to be their king, he's to be their bridge builder. The word in our world under the Roman Empire for a priest was the pontificus, the bridge builder, the one who can bridge the gap between earth and the gods. A priest. He's going to be a priest. The stars were telling us exactly this story. The history of his people was telling us this story, and we read it, and we read it, and we read it. There was no doubt. He was going to be the king. He was going to be the priest who could get mankind to God. But we kept reading. And we found that the Lamb who dies to cover sin and guilt, he's also going to die. He's going to give himself up. He's going to be a sacrifice. He himself is the sacrifice that he as the priest will offer in order to bridge the gap between earth and heaven. What do you give? So once we figured this out, we got an appointment with our king. It took 5 page boys and 2 donkeys to carry all the books and charts. We took up the king's week, convincing him that this one who was born is worth honoring, is worth worshiping, is worth our allegiance. And after some consideration, our master said yes. What gifts ought we give him? Well, he's a king. We give gold as tribute to a king. He said yes, here's a chest of gold. And so we carried gold with us. We couldn't really afford this much gold today. You can all get some later. We carried gold with us because this one born is a king. In our world, a priest uses the smoke of frankincense to lift praises to God, to lift our questions to God. And so we brought a container of frankincense in order to participate in his priesthood. Beautiful smelling resin from trees that grow in Arabia, Afghanistan, and Persia. The sap of trees infused with spices that lift our hearts and our minds into the heavens. What gift do you bring someone who is destined to die? The answer is myrrh. Like frankincense, it's made from the sap of trees and infused with spices, but it doesn't smell pretty. It's a heavy, earthy smell. And in our world, we didn't burn it into smoke. We ground it into powder, and with oils, we soaked rags in it in which to wrap the dead, to make the stench of death a little bit less awful. And so our king said, if he is truly a king, if he is truly the priest, if he is truly the one who is bound to die, from my treasury take gold and frankincense and myrrh. And it took us years to travel. We got to Jerusalem And we asked, where is the king who has been born? And none of the people of Jerusalem knew that King Herod's wife had had a child. And they were a little bit upset. And we finally got to the king. And we said, where is the new king been born? And he went to his wife and said, where's the baby? I don't remember this. He went to his scribes and his magi, and they found in their writings that the baby was to be born in a little city not far away called Bethlehem. So we went there. The star led us. Not knowing the whole story, not knowing where it would go, but knowing what this child's destiny was, we offered him the gift of king, of priest, and of sacrifice. Too often, we believe that the heavens and the earth are ripped apart from one another. And we who live on this earth and in this world with these stars and planets cannot reach the heavens. But this baby, whose name was Yeshua, this baby was the face of heaven. This baby was the presence of the Almighty God in our earth. Did our science lead us to him? It did. All sciences lead to the knowledge of the Almighty God. We discovered him through the stars. Moses discovered him on Mount Sinai. David discovered him in singing songs of praise. Earth and heaven have been joined by this baby. You, who live thousands of years after I did, have a fancy name for this day. You call it the Epiphany, the showing forth. The manifestation, yes, God showed himself to this world today. And so, though I am gone from you, I have one more story to tell. We returned to Persia. We continued to watch the stars. Now I'm an old man. 50 years pass, and a wandering Jewish man comes through Persia, and he's saying some of the silliest things any of us have ever heard. That a man named Yeshua of Nazareth died to save the world, and on the third day rose from the dead. And on the day that I heard, the man who I later discovered was Thomas, one of the 12 followers of this Yeshua. When I heard his voice telling me that the one who had offered himself as priest, who had been himself the sacrifice, the one who rose and now ascended to the right hand of God as the King of all the universe, my mind went back to that day in Bethlehem, knowing that the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh have been fulfilled. Amen.